God, in it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 7 is my text. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Notice the phrase, for God. You may be seated. I have this matter of God's call on our lives on my heart tonight. I've been using these four God texts to preach on some divine affirmations or conclusions. God makes it very clear that this is true, this is so, by giving us these words, for God. Tonight, with the Lord's help, I'd like to say a word or two about a divine affirmation concerning God's call. I don't know if this is child labor or not, but my dad got me a job working in an apple orchard when I was 9 years old. And nobody seemed to think it strange. And I learned all the different parts of the apple business except the money part. Of course, they don't make any money. They just buy new trucks every other year and new equipment. But they don't make any money off the apples. It's all too much hail damage. At least that's all I heard. I'm looking at it a little different now, looking back. But I worked with an old gentleman by the name of Ab Thomas. Albert, we all called him Ab. He'd come out of a very recluse background. He didn't really know how to communicate with people. And we picked at him just to hear him talk, because his words were so drawn out. Well, in the summer of 1968, I got things straightened out with God. And then, of course, September was the apple time, apple picking time. And I'd never talked to Ab about his soul. I hadn't been interested. But the Lord had revolutionized my life. And I said to him, Ab, I've never heard you say, but are you a Christian? And he said, I tell you, Tommy Hayes, I sure am a Christian. I said, Ab, how do you know you're a Christian? He said, I'll tell you how I know I'm a Christian. He said, I heard the good master up above calling me. Well, I thought that was good enough. May I say, every one of us who claim to be God's children heard the good master up above calling us unto himself. I've looked at all kinds of verses where the Bible talks about the call of God. I don't know that I need to quote them. I don't know that I need to read any of them. We're told that Abraham, when he was called, went out to a country where God had called him. May I say, that's why we began to move spiritually, because God called. Now, I'd just like to say three simple things from this text tonight. It's a very brief word, but a very deep word. I want to mention, firstly, God helping me, the call with which God calls us. Secondly, I want us to look at the corruption from which God calls us. And then lastly, I'd like to mention the consecration to which God calls us. Certainly those three principles are set forth in the text. Now, before we get started, let me just ask. Did you just make a decision to do better or to be a good church person? Or did God call you? We know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. No, we never heard loud voices, but there was that inner drawing work of the Spirit of God. The promptings of God within us. And the call issued to us. Let's begin with that statement, for God hath not called us, or basically he's saying God has called us unto holiness. I would mention the call with which God calls us. Now, in this religious society of decisionalism, I would like to basically say what you've heard many times, but I want to remind us of the fact of God's call. He has called us from uncleanness unto holiness. That is, He has wooed us. The call of God so appeals and so attracts that we are wooed from the world unto God Himself. We're introduced to Christ by the blessed Holy Spirit. The fact of His call. Oh, Ab had that fact down, brother. I'll tell you, he said, the good Master up above, I heard Him calling me. It's a fact. Now, I would love to see everyone saved. And I would love to be effective to such a degree that people would sense the wooing of God. But I know God has to do that. I can't say enough, do enough. I cannot influence enough to bring anyone to Jesus. They must have a call from God. A drawing, a wooing, a dealing. God called. The fact of His call. He woos us. Furthermore, we're reminded here not only of the fact of His call, but the force of His call. He not only wounds us, but He wins us. Yes, there's an element of resistance and rebellion in all of us by nature, but somehow God overcomes that. He takes us beyond ourselves and calls us effectually to Himself. For God hath called us. I've been in services where I felt that God was calling. I've been in services where it seemed like God was 1,000 miles away. And yet, in some of those services when I felt so strong, it seemed as though nothing took place. And then in those atmospheres where it seemed like nothing was taking place, the call of God went out. Issued forth to some height. And someone would say on the way out to the pastor, I wish you'd pray with me. I wish y'all would pray for me. I was in a service one night. The conviction was of such nature that a lost man got up and testified. And when he finished, he said, of course, y'all know I'm not saved. Please pray for me. It's a strange operation.
Yes, sir.
The pull of God. May I say it has a heavenly force in it that pulls us upward and away from sin and self. For God hath called us. Such a wonderful truth. This meeting, this service, this message is not limited to me. It's not limited to this atmosphere. It's not limited to our wishes and our longings. But it involves the call of God. Every time I preach, I'm not limited to myself. I'm limited, yes. But oh, God calls and God deals and God works. Hallowed be His name. For the call with which God calls us. Then I would point out the text reads, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness. Everywhere this word is used in the New Testament, it seems to have a moral implication. That is, God has not left us in our immoral state. He hath called us from corruption. Yes, there's the call with which God calls us, but there's the corruption from which God calls us. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, the angel said to Joseph. For He shall save His people from their sins. He saves us from corruption. Now, with that moral weakness in fallen man, let me mention first of all that God calls us from the corruption of the past. Now, I would not say that every sinner goes to the depths of corruption that others go. We know that's not true. However, we're all corrupt. We're all fallen. We're all depraved. We're all unclean. We're all dirty and defiled before God.
Absolutely.
It fascinates me how some people are so judgmental towards sinners. Well, he ought to know better than that. His mama was a good Christian. Listen, we're all fallen in Adam. Apart from the wooing, winning call of God, we stay in that course. It's like a dead fish going with the flow. It can't fight the stream. It can't fight the wave. It takes a live fish to fight the current. When my brother came to the Lord some 18 years ago now, I called my dear friend in Michigan, who had invited me many times to go salmon fishing with him. Well, I'm not a fisherman. I'm not an outdoorsman. My idea of camping out is Holiday Inn with the AC on max. I've had it's cold in that room over yonder. You could hang me. A couple of times I thought I was the one going to freeze to death. I woke up in the night just chilling because I didn't turn it up a little. But old Brother Jimmy, he said to me when I called him, I said, "Brother Jimmy, my brother just came to the Lord, and he's run with a wild crowd on the fishing banks and in the world, and now he seems to be all alone. And I was wondering if you'd let me bring him up and us go salmon fishing with you in a few weeks." I knew he'd go in September. He said, "That'd be great, Tom." He said, "Let me get you a motel room." He said, "My wife and I'll be staying in our camper, and we'll be cooking here in the camp. But," he said, "you and your brother can stay in the motel and do however you want to do. And then we'll meet at a certain time, and we'll either go out on Lake Michigan or we'll hit some of the streams, according to how the weather is." And so we went. And I saw dead salmon going with the current. But then when I was fishing a stream, which, I mean, that was a sight. What was I doing there? I had waders on up to my navel and couldn't hardly lift my feet in the water. But I had seen some salmon in that hole. And I went to it. And so I was trying. They weren't allured to anything. All of a sudden, one of them stood up on his tail and came right at me. I said, "Oh boy, he's leaving town." I'm saying a dead fish will go with the current, but a live one can buck the current and go upstream. I saw them climb waterfalls to get back to their original setting. God calls us from death unto life. The corruption from which he calls us is the corruption of the past. Oh, brother, where would we be tonight had God left us where we were? I hear people talk. I see people the way they live from week to week. And I have to say, that's me. Except God's grace has reached my heart. I've been called of God. And I'm no longer that person. He calls us from the corruption of the past. However, hang on now. He doesn't just call us. He keeps on calling us. Wooing us and pulling us. You know, we believe that repentance is an ongoing work of grace. We repent, and we keep on repenting. One of the brethren sort of confronted me about this, but didn't change my opinion, and I told him. I said, we repent, and we keep on repenting. We repent all the way to heaven. He said, that's not true. I said, no, some folks just repented way back yonder, they say. But I said, I repented coming to the service this morning. And I'll not be hesitant to tell you, the car had an Ohio title on it. I had to repent before I got to church. We keep repenting. We're not against repentance. We're for it. And as well, faith is begun in us, and we believe, and we keep on believing. We believe under the saving of our soul. And may I say, the reason we repent and keep on repenting, and the reason we believe and keep on believing, is God calls and keeps on calling. Amen. We're no longer moved towards the old life. He not only calls us from the corruption of the past, but he calls us from the corruption of the present. He checks us. Any little fleshly, vile, wicked, worldly thought, the Holy Ghost checks us. And he calls us from the corruption of the present. You will agree there's plenty of it. There wasn't just corruption back yonder in that cesspool of sin we were living in. But there's corruption all around us now. Huh? You know this very much, but I want to say it. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What a mess human nature's in. But there's a God in heaven who calls us and keeps on calling us and pulls us away from the corruption that surrounds us and the corruption that is confronting us. He saves and he keeps on saving.
Yes, yes.
He calls and he keeps on calling. Yes, he does. Then I want to succumb to this third truth, which may be the hub truth, holiness. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness or corruption, but unto holiness. We not only look at the call with which God calls us and must call others. Don't give up on that boy. Don't give up on that daughter. Don't give up on those grandchildren. Don't give up on that loved one. God calls. That's a fact. And it's a force bigger than the pull of sin and the way of the world. The call with which God calls us. The corruption from which God calls us. Both in the past and in the present. Somebody said, well, you don't have to worry about me. I'm not going to go back. Well, you're the very one we're worried about. It's not that when it says, pray for me.
That's right.
I'm having a battle. I'm fighting with the flesh, the world, and the devil. Pray for me. I've got some hope for that one.
Yes.
It's that when it feels like, I'll tell you one thing, I'm not as bad as they think I am. We're all full of sin and self. We need God's calling power and His authority over us. Let me mention lastly, the consecration to which He calls us. Now, contrary to popular opinion, holiness is not something you attain or something that I attain. But it's God calling us in an upward fashion, in an onward movement. He hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. And thus the word consecration is very becoming. In fact, the word holiness as it's given here is the same as sanctification. Back in, I think it was verse 3. Yes, verse 3. It has to do with purification. That's our heart. Only God can do that. The heart, Jeremiah said, is desperately wicked. As soon as we be born, David said, we go forth speaking lies. Our heart is what we are. And only God can call us out of that. Only God can purify. Only God can sanctify. And so God has called us to consecration. Now, we want to cooperate with that call. We want to yield to that call. But by me doing something, and by me not doing something, stopping something, or starting something, will not make me holy. In fact, if there's anything holy about you, and if there's anything holy about me, it's God that worketh in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. For to me to live is Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. But the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Not I, but Christ. This is the consecration to which God calls us. Now, as God's man, your pastor, Brother David, myself, and other men of God, it is a necessity that we preach against sin. However, our preaching against sin cannot sanctify. It cannot purify. It's not of the preacher. It's not of the people. It's not of that good brother's determination. It's not of that weak brother's determination. It's God who works in us and calls and calls and calls again. We're called to purification. The purification of God's call. Really, that's the only hope you have of being clean and pure. It's the only hope I have of being clean and pure. Oh, we know things we're to do and not to do. But it must be God wooing us and drawing us and dealing with us. This is the consecration to which God calls us. It involves our purification. It involves our practice. He hath not called us unto uncleanness, which we lived in and practiced, and would now, apart from God's power and grace. But it's unto holiness, just as uncleanness was an ongoing practice until God called, and would be now, apart from God's call and grace. So holiness is an ongoing work of God. It's a practice. The purification works in the heart. The practice has to do with the life. Now, I can't repent for you. I mean, I can ask God to forgive us as a people, as a nation, and Lord, we would repent before Thee. However, God must work in you. And you can't repent for me. God must work in me. And sometimes I see that I'm very much out of line with the way of holiness. But do I want to stay there? Oh no. He's calling me. He's wooing me. He deals with me. Kathy has this little saying. I'll say to her on occasion, Kathy, you're a good person. Well, she'll say this, Tom, I want to be good. Well, that's a great approach as far as I'm concerned. Why would somebody be good if they didn't want to be good? It's not in them. It's not part of them. God must purify and enable us to live a life of holiness and sanctification. A divine affirmation concerning God's call. We see the call with which He calls us. The corruption from which He calls us, the consecration to which He calls us. When I was maybe about 5 or 6, we had a neighbor who did not go to school. He was probably 7 or 8 years older than me, 12, 14. And one day, I was outside and he was outside. We were playing sort of in my dad and mom's yard. And he said, let's go listen for squirrels. Well, that was not a foreign thing to me. Dad would take me out on the ridge and we'd sit still, listen for squirrels, and then he'd pick them off with that .22 and we'd have squirrel dumplings for supper. And James said, let's go listen to squirrels. And so, without any hesitation, I went with James out on the ridge. Well, James had a mean streak in him. And after we'd been out there for a while, He said, "Tommy, you stay here and listen for squirrels, and I'm going to go out the other part of the ridge and listen for squirrels." Well, I stayed and waited and stayed and waited. And James never did come back. Neither did he stay out there on that part of the ridge. And I got scared. And Mama realized that I was missing. And she came through the backyard calling, "Tommy! Tommy!" And about the time she was calling, I was saying, "Mama! Mama!" She called for me, and I called her. And she took me on home. God calls for us. And we become laden down with fear for our future. And we call out to Him. And He takes us on towards home. This is a divine affirmation concerning God's call. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness.
Thank you, Lord.
May that be our experience. May it be that our the experience of our loved ones, those for whom we are burdened. May they hear the call of God. Thank you for your prayers. You're standing with me. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed.